Good evening, everyone. Nice to be with you once again. We're going to talk about a very important subject. And what we're going to look at is this word of peace. But not any kind of peace, because what we're going to look at is personal peace that affects us as individuals. And that's what matters to us, isn't it? Now, we're going to look at it today and in the future, forever. Now, what we're saying from that is, how do we find that kind of peace today and forever? Well, this is how we find it, through the Bible, God's mighty message of hope. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, and see how that from God's word, we can have today personal peace and also for the future. So what is peace? I just want to show you some illustrations, and I'm sure you all know with modern technology that these images are put in front of us at an instant. And we know that still in Afghanistan there are situations there that are not very pleasant, still bloodshed in that far country. But bring it nearer to home, and we see about rising costs at household bills. And what I'm going to try and show to you that yes, we see the problems in the world, not just in Afghanistan, in many other parts of the world, and those problems affect us and we are sorry about it. But I do think, because we live in the world that we do today, that's as far as it goes. Oh yes, we're sorry. But you see, when we start to look at things nearer to home, that's when it gets more personal. And things like this. Rising costs hit household bill. We're told that home repossessions are up by 50%. And these are the things that affect us as individuals. This was taken a while back, but we know again that petrol, fuel, has gone up. And it's still going up, isn't it? You know, it's around the 120 now, a litre. And these are things that affect us as individuals. And that was something that I read that concerned me. And I thought, what a shame, isn't it? That a charity that gives grants to people facing poverty has seen a 400% increase in those contacting them for help. Now this don't affect me yet. A fifth of over 60s are skipping meals, it says, to cope with the recession. And yet we know on the other hand, these bankers are still helping themselves to massive profits, and it doesn't seem right, does it? There's a situation, again, getting closer and closer to individual people and families. There's a teenager, a 14-year-old girl, who was a religious girl. She had faith and believed, and because of this, she was bullied at school because of her beliefs. And an inquest heard that it had pushed her over the top, the bullying that she had been given at school. And she committed suicide. 14-year-old girl. Now you can imagine what her parents would be going through. 27 gun crimes every day. Now if I said to you that was in America, yes, well, that's, can understand it, can't we? But that's in one of our own towns. And there, a judge decided to shame and name a boy of 16 who tried to buy a pistol and also to get some ammunition for it. And it's saying the number of gun crimes has risen by 4%. And that's one of many we hear about. Killed with a brick after asking some young people to keep quiet outside their house. And we know this is happening, isn't it? Not safe to go out at the dark at night. And there is a police lady, and says there on the front line, Robocop. And she's got all sorts of equipment on there. She's got a bulletproof vest, she's got a gun, handcuffs, CS spray, she's got a telephone, and so on. And that's the way we see some of the police in our streets today. Remember last year, and into this year, that swine flu, and how it had hit home to people, and how schools were shut, and so on. E. coli hit a boy of three who beat the swine flu. And all these kind of things we hear. And what I'm trying to show, that we go from the distance of Afghanistan, which does concern us, but we're getting nearer and nearer to home. And this here, this situation, happened in Blackpool. And there were four held after stab death. And one of our brothers in Blackpool lived next door but one to where this man lived. And you see, when it comes nearer and nearer to us, it affects us personally, doesn't it? And this happened in Blackpool. So we can see there's troubles, hardship, worries, stress, sorrow. And of course, something that affects each and every one of us, and that's death, isn't it? So, are those images of peace? Well, as it says there, far from it. It makes us afraid, doesn't it, when we can think of these things. But I'm not here tonight to teach doom and gloom. No, far from it. So, what is peace? Well, some would have us believe, these people that preach peace, that it's a freedom from war, disorder and strife. It's a calm. That's what they would say that peace is. But what we're interested in tonight is what the Bible tells us about peace. And we can find it through God's Word, through our Bibles. Now, the Bible is a positive and mighty message of peace and hope in a seemingly peaceless and hopeless world that we live in. Oh yes, perhaps we are not affected by some of these things, but we can see from those images that some of us are. And it gets closer and closer to us, doesn't it? And so I think, and I believe, that it's good to know there is something that we can get hold of and see how we can have a real peace in a hopeless world. And here we will find real peace and happiness and hope for the future and for today. And the Bible, I can assure you, it's reliable, it's trustworthy, and relevant for us all today. And that's important. You see, it is relevant. It's up to date. It's all right for us in 2010 to read it and take it to ourselves. It's not old-fashioned. It's for us, and it's very relevant. So, the Bible is very special. And most importantly, it can be for each one of us as individuals. And that's what matters to you and to you and to you, isn't it? The Bible is unique and different than any other book. And it's written with real purpose and promises. And it's able to change our lives. And what's really special about it, it can give us, as we said, peace today and in the future forever. So, peace foretold. The promise that concerns us tonight that we're looking at is this of peace. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 32. Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in a quiet resting place. So what it's saying to us clearly, that peace is the consequence of being right with God. The work of righteousness, to be right-minded with God, shall be peace. And the effect of that is quietness and assurance, not only now, but forever. And then he says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, in a quiet resting place. And here's the Lord God speaking and saying that my people, and the wonderful thing is that you and I can be God's people. We can be part of this process that he's talking about. So, God's promise of peace is secured in his Son, Jesus Christ. Please turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll see how that this is followed through. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And it's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember, don't we, that the shepherds were on the hillside, and the angel appeared to them, and in verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest, and then what does it say? And on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what it is. That the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is giving glory to God. It's giving peace on earth and goodwill to all men. So to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ can do this for you and I as well. Now, Jesus talked about peace, and I honestly believe what he said and did can help us today. And I'd like us to have a look at what he said. Please turn to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. So Jesus is saying there, my peace I give unto you. And if you get that peace that I give unto you, then he says, let not your heart be troubled or afraid. Now we saw, didn't we, the things of this life and the things that can affect us as individuals can give us trouble, it can give us stress, and it can make us afraid. But what Jesus is saying, my peace that I give unto you, he says, look, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, what was this personal peace that Jesus had that he's willing to give to us? What was it about Jesus that gave him this inner peace that you and I can have? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 8. I think we can have a look at this together. Matthew chapter 8. And we can learn so much from the Lord Jesus Christ and his example. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And here was a situation where Jesus had entered into a ship and his disciples followed him. Now it says there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now just picture it, there was this boat going up and down, pitching and rolling, and it was water coming over the top. And some of these men that were in the boat were hardened fishermen. And yet, we're told Verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. It's not pleasant being in a boat like that, is it? I remember a few years ago going on holiday, and this Grecian captain decided that there'd been a storm the night before, and we were still going to go on this boat. And of course, we got out of the headland, 3-hour trip, and it was going up and down, pitching and rolling, tables everywhere, and he kept saying, you'll be all right. Lots of people were feeding the seagulls, you know, and everything was it was terrible. So I can understand how they were feeling here. And they were frightened that they were going to die. They were afraid. Now, what I want you to do is look, what was Jesus doing while they were being worried to death about the situation around them? Verse 24 at the end. He was asleep. Asleep? And the water going up and down like this, and the waves coming over, he was asleep. Well, what does he say to them? And he said unto them, verse 26, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he's saying, why are you fearful, ye of little faith? Do you not believe that while I'm in the boat with you, you're safe? You see, Jesus had that peace of mind that he could go to sleep in the boat in whatever situation, because he believed and knew that his heavenly Father would be there to help him and guide him at all times. He had that peace of mind. And he was trying to say to his disciples, look, whatever happens to you, don't be afraid. And he said, verse 26, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, what a powerful lesson, wasn't it, to the disciples? And that's how it is, isn't it, sometimes? The storms of life come upon us, and we don't know how we're going to get out of it. We can be afraid, can't we? But the lesson is saying here that if we've got Jesus with us in our lives, oh yeah, the storms will still come, but he can bring a calm in our lives now. Because if we believe in him and believe in his purpose and the purpose of God Almighty, then we can look to the future and not to now. And it's a lovely illustration, isn't it? The storms of this life, but if Jesus is in the boat with us, if he is in our lives now, then he can give us that sense of calmness that we can cope and deal with the problems and the troubles that come about. So when he said, my peace I leave with you, this is what he was meaning. He was completely and utterly believing in the things concerning God and his purpose. And he was not afraid. So, a personal peace that Jesus had, although he had pressures like us and more so, he had a peace of mind due to his confidence and belief in God's plans, promises, a mighty message of hope. Please turn to John chapter 16. And we see this coming out time and time again, the way Jesus was speaking about peace of mind. Peace. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And we've seen that, haven't we? By the illustrations that we looked at before. And you and I know things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Verse And we know we're coming to a time when these politicians are promising all sorts of things so that we will vote for them. But the only promise that we have that is sure and true is the Word of God. And Jesus is saying, in the world you will have tribulation. And then he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now isn't that wonderful that he is saying to us, we too can have that same personal peace he showed to his disciples if we have the same confidence and belief in Jesus and God's mighty message. Personal peace, you see, is based upon that. It's based upon trust. Nothing else, trust. And we're told very clearly in the Bible that Jesus understands us. For we are told, he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And surely we can have respect, can't we, for anybody that sets us an example that we can look up to. And we can look up to Jesus because he's been through it all. And worse, he even died on the cross for you and I. And he understands us and he's able to help us. You see, Jesus also understood his disciples' worries and concerns. And when he first called them, he talked to them about these concerns. He said, look, you know, we've got to look at this closely. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. And he got these raw recruits, these disciples he had called and he had chosen. And he says to them, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. But what Jesus was saying here, he's saying, of course you've got to eat, you've got to put clothes on. But what Jesus is talking about is priorities in life. If all we're interested in is eating and drinking and having smart clothes and holidays, then our priorities are all wrong as far as Jesus is saying. And then he says, is not the life more than the meat and the body than raiment? He says, look, you're going to die eventually, but surely the body is more important. You can look beyond this life and get your priorities right so that you can have hope for the future. And he mentions that little word again at the bottom in verse 30. O ye of little faith. You see, faith is trust, isn't it? It's belief. And at this time, their faith wasn't very strong. They needed convincing, encouraging and helping. And we all need that, don't we? And the wonderful thing with Jesus, he didn't keep saying to them, you can't do that, you can't do this. He said to them, you can do this, you can do the other. And he encouraged them and helped them and assured them. Verse 31, he says this, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal will we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what most people are interested in, he says. But he says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You won't be without. And then he says to them, this is your priority. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what he's saying is, oh yes, you've got to think about clothes and food and drink, but he says it's about priorities. And if you want real peace, you've got to look to the future and you've got to seek now first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember what peace is? It's righteousness. It's being right with God. That's what real peace is. And he's saying, then all these things shall be added unto you. Then we will see riches and honour and glory in the kingdom. Now, what was their response? You see, they had to learn, didn't they? And he was a wonderful communicator, the Lord Jesus, and a wonderful teacher. He trained them in the things of God. But he had such a way with him that they were willing to listen. He used everyday situations to keep their attention and to help them and guide them. Go back to John chapter 16, please. Verse 27, Jesus is saying to them, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and hath believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world to go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no proverb. You see, he was explaining to them about what was going to happen and what is going to come to pass. But he spoke to them plainly and clearly and simply, and they understood and they believed. Their belief wasn't very strong yet, but it was increasing day by day the more that they were with him. So, verse 33 again, it's there, isn't it? These things have I spoken unto you. I know you believe, you've responded, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He reassures them. And personal peace is that, isn't it? It's based upon trust. And there's no greater person we can trust than the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, the Lord God. Now, what about us? You and I as individuals, personally. What does it all mean to us? Well, it doesn't mean that all our everyday problems will just go away. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But if we trust in God and his word, it will help us cope with them. And this is what God's peace can do for us now. Peace of mind now, with purpose and hope for the future. And knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, is coming back very soon to set up God's kingdom on earth. A personal peace in today's world. And we all know that verse, don't we? We have that assurance, don't we? That when the apostles were there, the angels saw, and disciples saw Jesus going up into heaven. It said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken from you will so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And that was the assurance. He's going to come back to this earth. He's now at the right hand of God on high. And he's waiting that day that God has appointed to come back and to establish a kingdom that will stand forever, which will represent peace and righteousness and joy. So, finding personal peace. Lost and found. Well, there were two situations. There was Luke 15, it talks about sheep, a shepherd. He had 100 sheep and he lost one. And you would think, wouldn't you, well, we've still got 99, what's one sheep among 100? But you see, this shepherd was concerned about every single sheep. And he knew them individually. Now I'm sure, well, when we went to the Lake District last week, I see the sheep in the field, I can't tell one from the other. Unless one's got a red mark on his back and one on the back of his head. But they all look the same. But in Bible times, each sheep was important. And we're told about this one that was lost. And the shepherd went out and he found him. And that which was lost, he found. And it says there was joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. And that's like you and I. We might not have God in our lives. We might be lost, but in this world standards we keep going. But by God we're lost. But we can be found. And there will be joy if we turn to God and his work. And the same happened with the lady that lost the coins. When she found them, she rejoiced. And so we as individuals must search, we must find, and we must trust. And God's peace will make us that we are in the world safe in his hands. Lovely illustration, isn't it? We will see that individuals will be safe in his kingdom of peace. Remember the words of Jesus in John 16, verse 33. We've said them a few times. That in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's personal peace for us today. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And it's based on trust. So, what's the future for us? Well, the only thing that's certain is that, isn't it? Death. But we can look beyond the grave to God's gift of peace and eternal life. And we can have peace in today's world if we will trust and turn to God through his word. Now there's a beautiful picture, and again, because of today's technology, we see the world that was created so beautifully by the Lord God. But can we find personal peace? Well, it's a certainty. We can. But the world needs that. The Bible, God's mighty message. And what is important, we need to read it, we need to believe it, and we need to act upon its message of peace. No good just reading it and saying, oh, that sounds right. We've got to believe it, to trust it, to have faith and trust. And then we've got to act upon its message of peace. Very soon, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be real peace, real joy, and there will be life. Not any kind of life, everlasting life. Peace promised to believers. And that's the point. It's a gift from God. We can't earn it. It's a gift, a free gift. In Psalm 29, verse 11, you don't need to turn it up, but I'll read it to you. Psalm 29. And verse 11, it says there, the Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. So it's a promise from God that we can have peace, that we may enter abundantly and completely into his everlasting kingdom. And in Romans 14, verse 17, it tells us exactly there what God's peace is and what the kingdom of God. It says that peace is this, And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, those things that we think of today, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, remember, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." And he's saying this to you and to me. Yes, you and me, that's who he's saying it to today in 2010. That he can give us peace, not only today, but in the future. And he wants us to have God's peace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That's what personal peace is all about. God's mighty message of hope. Please turn to that reading we had at the beginning. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, it says there, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice." And that's what we're asked to do. Rejoice. Not to be miserable or sad, but to rejoice in the Lord, because he's giving to us a real hope. Verse 7. "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What does that? Well, he says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." And verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," and he's speaking to you and I here, he used that little word, didn't he? "Those things which ye have both learned, received and heard, do." Don't think about it. If you know it's right, do something about it. And then he says, "If you do something about it, the God of peace shall be with you." Wonderful, isn't it? I have this in the study at home, a little poster. And it's, "Where there is faith, there is hope, love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is God." And it's true. And Jesus said, didn't he, "My peace I give to you." Now, there's a picture. And I thought, because I was coming over into Yorkshire, I better show a picture of Yorkshire. Anybody know where that might be? It's a bit dark, I know. No?
Looking over toward Lancashire,
aren't I? Yeah. Well, we're looking at the best part, going over to Lancashire, yeah. But Ebden Bridge. And a lovely picture. And what we're trying to show there is a new dawn, a new beginning. And let's hope that if you've not made that commitment, that you will see that these things can be a new beginning to us. You see, God's peace today is for you. Yes, for you. And God's peace forever for you. Yes, for you. Lovely, isn't it? And that's what God, who the Lord Jesus, is promising. God's peace be with you. Now, I've said before, that's the first half. No, I'm only joking. God's peace be with you. And that's what we want, isn't it? God's peace to be with us. And we do pray, don't we, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to establish God's kingdom, that he'll say to each one of us, enter thou into the joy of my Lord. And that's what we want, isn't it? Thank you.